Hogan. Lepper. Lauzer. Mock. Schmidt. Seibel. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Okay, the next thing is consideration of the minutes of the June 21st meeting. Is there?
I move we approve.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by a bunch of people. Take your pick, Mock. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Comments? We are making history today, as I understand it, because the legislature has not utilized executive session in the memory of the people who have looked it up. I gotta open this. Where did it go?
This.
Oh. The next item on the agenda is attorney consultation regarding potential litigation relating to line item vetoes. This item may be discussed in executive session pursuant to North Dakota Century Code 4404.19.1. At this time, a motion would be in order to proceed with the attorney consultation in executive session rather than in a public session. And just to remind you of the agenda we have today, we will be going into executive session. And at the end of that, we will take like a 10-minute break. And then we will come back and have a public session. During the private section of session, of course, there would be no motions made or no head counting or anything like that. It will be just for the discussion of the question that is on the agenda. Is there such a motion for...
Make the motion for an executive session, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Schmidt. All in favor?
Discussion,
oh,
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, discussion, yes, yes.
Why... Okay. Why would we go into executive session instead of just making it public right away? What are we trying to protect ourselves from something, or what's going on there?
A public body, if they are in the, essentially... looking at litigation, you don't spend your time talking about what your strategy is in the public, because that is something that the attorneys will utilize during a court case. And I will call on John to flesh that out. For example, your school boards, when they're doing negotiation, they can have executive sessions to prepare their case, which is what essentially is being done here today. John?
Mr. Chairman, I think you summarized it exactly correct. The point would be to consult with some outside counsel regarding the potential strategy if you were to go forward with litigation, to address some of the issues that would likely arise and the maybe the relative strength of certain issues. So those are things that would be best be served by discussing in private and not sharing any type of strategy publicly.
Any other discussion? This will take a roll call vote.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Heckman.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Oban.
Yes.
Shibley.
Aye.
Sorbog.
Aye.
Wardner.
Aye.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Ballou.
No.
Devlin.
No.
Hogan.
Yes.
LaFour.
Yes.
Lauzer.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Schmidt.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Chairman, the motion carries.
Okay, the executive session will be recorded, and all members of legislative management are reminded to limit discussion during the executive session to questions and comments directed to the attorneys and which are related to the subject of litigation of the line item vetoes. Any discussion or final action by legislative management must occur after reconvening in an open session. This prohibition on taking final action during executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instructions to legal counsel. We request everyone other than members of legislative management outside counsel and members of legislative council staff to leave the room until the legislative management reconvenes in an open public meeting at the conclusion of the attorney consultation, which is expected to approximately be 8:45. The minutes will reflect the executive session at its timed beginning. It was attended by all members of legislative management with the exception of Senator Armstrong, Attorney Randall Bakke, Attorney Sean Grinolds, Legislative Council staff Jim Smith, Alan Knutson, John Bjornson, Claire Ness, Brady Mueller, and then there is another provision in state law that I will share with you as a committee. Closed meeting means any or all parts of an executive meeting that a public entity in its discretion has not opened to the public, although any person necessary to carry out or further the purposes of a closed meeting may be admitted. And I'm asking members of legislative management, is there any other person necessary to carry out and further the purposes of a closed meeting that should be admitted to this meeting? Okay, then the sergeant at arms will exclude everybody else who wasn't mentioned. Well, I could be
We heard that. But we didn't know where. We just knew you were in the air.
Committee will come back to order. Public meeting is now open.
Need to take the roll or not?
No, you don't need to take roll. Okay. The management met in executive session to talk with attorneys, and the next step would be if there were any motions by members of legislative management, and then there would be discussion on the motion. Are there any motions?
I move that we proceed with litigation.
We have a motion to proceed with litigation. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Schmidt. Discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could, the one of the obvious questions will be is what does this cost and how is it going to be covered? And I'd like to have Mr. Smith address that from the council standpoint of how this, the cost of this would be covered if we proceed with this.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, obviously this was something that we did not budget for because it all came up in May subsequent to the end of the session. But as we look at the first quarter through September 30, which isn't quite complete yet, we're pretty confident that we'll have savings both from out-of-state travel, committee travel, and then some IT savings as well. That should more than cover what the range is in terms of what we're looking at for the cost of the lawsuit.
And again, committee members, when we have this discussion here, you are asked not to talk about specific strategy kinds of issues that were brought up in the executive session. That's something that will unfold as we proceed.
I'll defer to Representative Carlson until he's done, then I want to speak.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is our discussion was very interesting with the attorney and looking at past case history and what our chances are or what our opportunities are, but this is all about protecting the integrity of the legislative branch of government. This isn't about us against the governor. This isn't about us against the attorney general. This is about protecting the integrity of the legislative branch of government. When vetoes are done, their words are deleted, where monies are left in budgets and words are taken away to cover the money. There's things that need to be addressed because that is our, there's no one here who can spend money except us. And there's no one in the three branches of government that could pass laws except us. And I believe that the vetoes violated that, and we need to make sure that that is straightened out, that we understand we shouldn't let it go, because next time, would it be worse or better? We don't know. But if you ignore it this time and words are allowed to be changed, intent of legislation is allowed to be changed, I think it's a huge problem going forward for the legislature. So I would hope that if we do this, that we are very selective in our issues, that we deal with what happens when you delete words and change intent of legislation, what happens when you take words and don't take the money. I think those are the kind of things we need to focus on as we go forward, and I would hope that we would pass that, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wardner.
Well, Mr. Chairman, committee members, I got a little scratch sheet that I did a analysis of all of the vetoes on. I want to make sure that I go over it with everybody, and then the way you vote, that's fine. But I think some of these things need to be brought forward. So, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'm going to pass out the sheet.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, first of all, I do believe that the integrity of the legislature is something that was in question here, and that concerns me, and it concerned me as I went through these bills. And by the way, I have gone through them about 5 or 6 times, and there's no question that the hair on the back of my head came up on a few of the vetoes. I just didn't understand. However, you got to look past that, and I have my biggest concern, and the thing I want you to take a look at, do we have enough to make sure that we win? Because if we don't, I think we're in a worse position. Now, if you think we're going to win, then you need to vote for it. If you don't, then I think we're still in pretty good shape, and we could use one of our days and have a veto session. That would take care of it. I'm not really worried about the AG's opinion if it's going to stay after we veto it. If we veto it, then we have made a statement that we don't agree with this. So I don't have a problem with that. I got it color-coded, so let's take a look at it. Green. We're looking at the green. First of all, in the green, the first one, number one, was the legislative branch, the Senate Bill 2001. AG gave no opinion on that. As far as I'm concerned, it's a non-issue. I don't see the Supreme Court wanting to talk about this. We appointed one because we had the right to, and I'm glad we did. Number 8, that's Senate Bill 2013. It was job service. By the way, I just got some key words there to kind of remind you what it was about. It was about 25,000 in job service building here in Bismarck. There's no constitutional issue, and there was no AG opinion. So I don't see where we would even consider those in the brief. And then number 10, Senate Bill 2119, job service. It was about leasing property for job service in Rolla, Minot, and Bismarck. There was no AG opinion. In my opinion, it's not significant. Now, you might say, well, it's the integrity of the legislature. Well, I don't see anybody wanting to get all excited over that, or that would cause precedence into the future. Number 11, House Bill 1015, OMB. We changed an effective date. The AG gave no opinion, and it's not a no constitutional issue. So there's 14 vetoes, and 4 of them right there. We take those, I think, off the table. I would like to think that if we do go forward with this, that they're not on the table. Number 2 is the the red underlined ones, those were the proper vetoes. Now, some of you are going to say, yes, we need to take and get, find out. We don't agree with the governor, and we don't agree with the AG. But the AG will be in there defending his position. That's a fact. And whether it has any effect or not with the Supreme Court, I don't know. But there's three of those. There's the number two with Senate Bill 20003. It's the North Dakota University System. Remember, it was sections 1, 2, and 5, proper veto. Then we had number five there, Senate Bill 2003, North Dakota University System. It was the NDSU nursing program. He said it was a proper veto. The AG will defend it. And then the next one was number nine, the Commerce Department. And now it's the one that keeps coming up, and that's the $300,000 for workplace safety project. The AG says it's a proper veto and we'll defend it. And in our quizzing of the Attorney General, he said when he vetoed it, the money stays in the bank and will not be spent. Now, that one, okay, maybe there's an issue there that we need to dig into. So there's three that were proper. Okay, so now we've taken seven of them and we talked about them. Now let's go to the yellow ones. The yellow ones, we have number three, which is Senate Bill 2003, NDS, North Dakota University System. It was sections 3 and 4. It had to do with funding for maintenance and things of that nature. It said it was ineffective. And my understanding, if it's ineffective, the Attorney General's opinion overrides the veto, and if the governor were to go ahead, or if the university system would go ahead and do this, the Attorney General would take him to court. That's my understanding. That's how strong it is. And then we got Senate Bill 2003, North Dakota University System, and that was the Dickinson State Nursing, he said, program that we said that unless they couldn't take it out. It had to stay, no matter what, it had to stay. The Attorney General says it's ineffective. And to be honest with you, it's insignificant, to be honest with you, because we got past that, we passed legislation, the school has got money to fund it, so it's not a big deal. Number seven, Senate Bill 2013, the Department of Trust Lands. Approved that, and this was the budget section. We take, it was $1.8 million that we have to go back, it had to come back to the budget section to get it approved. Well, according to this, he vetoed it. The Attorney General says it's ineffective, which means that we still will approve it by the budget section. So, and then number 12 was House Bill 1020, State Water Commission, Section 5, and that was budget section approval there. And the Attorney General says it's ineffective. Therefore, they have to come to the budget section to get approval. So that's the way we want it. And so those ineffective ones, the vetoes are not there. The Attorney General's opinion trumps them. So that's four more. Now we're down to, we got 11, there's three left. Let's take a look at, I want to talk about, before I go to the last one that I thought we had a case for, I want to talk about two of them. Number 6 and number 14, they're circled. Number 14 has to do with the $16.1 million for townships. There was definitely a disagreement between the House and the Senate on that. Now, we said, fine. We had to make some compromises, and we went ahead with that. I did not talk to the governor about vetoing it. I did not go down there. And I don't know of anybody else that he did it on his own, to my surprise. I don't want the courts deciding whether between the House and the Senate on this issue. I will oppose putting this issue in the brief, as well as number 14 on the PERS. Again,
Senator, when you talk about the brief, you are crossing that fine line that you've been skating along quite well.
I'm saying if we pass this to move forward, okay?
The line is still pretty fine.
All right. I would be opposed to those two, because then you would have the courts deciding legislation that is in disagreement between the two chambers. So you agree or disagree. The last one is number 13, and that is the one that I felt was the only one that we had a leg to stand on. And in visiting with Representative Schmidt, we've got some authority in the Century Code, and he's bringing a document or a proposal forward in the budget section to correct that. So anyway, before we make the final vote, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make sure that everybody saw this. This is Rich Wardner's thinking. You may think it's stinking thinking, but I think that we don't have a lot to stand on when it comes to going forward. And if we're rejected, I think we're in worse shape. What would be the solution? Burn one of our 3 days and have a veto session, and that would take care of it all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I came in this morning, I had studied these vetoes, as I think everyone in this body did. We probably have worked harder on this issue, cross party lines, cross houses, than anything I've ever seen. And I had not made up my mind. I had not made a decision. But the discussion about the legal authority of the legislature and the roles of both the Supreme Court and the governor are critical. And I think without a formal action, we will live in this kind of mucky land that Senator Wardner just went through. And I think we need clarity for the people of the state of North Dakota. And so, personally, I'm going to vote yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sorbaugh was next, and then
okay. Senator Carlson. Mr. Chairman, just a question, because Representative Carlson mentioned early on something about we could be selective, and what Senator Wardner is talking about. So I just want to be clear, if we would vote for this to go forward, will there be another meeting that we will have some say in which of these are going forward or not, and we're not just giving a blanket to legislative counsel and the attorneys?
That is the intention. The attorneys, if this motion passes, they will go and work on an additional strategy, because remember, they only had a very short period of time to work on the issue. They will do the strategy, and then we would have another meeting. And I know some people on the committee do not like executive sessions, but that would be, they would lay out their case, and then this body would determine if that's the direction they wanted to go and make changes. Senator O'Ban.
Mr. Chairman, I too have been struggling back and forth with this, and I'm going to start by saying some words that maybe nobody would expect to come out of my mouth, and that I agree with much of what Representative Carlson said. That probably doesn't hurt me as much as it would hurt you.
Which one of us got affected by that one?
I'll leave that up to you to decide. I am torn between recognizing the importance of protecting the authority of each branch of government, and recognizing who I am here representing and what the constituents of my district would think about spending time and resources and energy, given it's in the weeds, on something they probably don't feel is worth us spending time and resources and energy on. And I guarantee you, until I make the vote, I'm not sure which one is going to weigh more heavily.
You're halfway through the alphabet. Remember that.
Thank you. I can also count, Mr. Chairman. So, I mean, I don't know if other people struggle with that, but I constantly think about what the people in my district think about discussions like this. And it is very complicated, so just trying to weigh those and which one it's going to come down to, I'm not quite sure yet.
I have a comment when you're done.
Representative Mock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And and while I certainly appreciate the, you know, the thorough analysis by Senator Wardner, you know, as I review the decision before us, the question before us, I can't focus and live too heavily on the question of whether or not we'll win or not, we'll prevail or not. I don't really hate to say that, but I don't really believe that is germane to the conversation. And I think the bigger question is, you know, do we have certainty? And is there definition between what the authority of the governors, the executive branch, and the legislative branch, what authorities are permitted between the two branches of government? And so while, you know, obviously we go into this with the hope and anticipation of prevailing in our litigation, but I would also say that regardless of what the result is, people win, a certainty prevails. And I think that should be the ultimate objective, is providing clarity to the roles and branches and authority of all three branches, but here are the two branches that are at dispute. And to Senator Oban's point, and I completely empathize and agree, because it's like I go home, this is not the conversation that people are talking about. You know, it is whether or not the governor and the legislature are at odds. They've got bigger fish to fry at home. But where I have solace and where I feel comfortable moving forward on this is knowing and understanding that if we can answer this question today, that it will alleviate any concerns that could come up there, that it could affect people back home in their daily lives. That if there is any ambiguity of what the governor's office, the executive branch can do in terms of vetoing and selectively choosing, changing the intent of the legislation, the day may come where a partial veto could change the actions of the legislature and directly affect the lives of people back home. And if we don't establish clarity today, the costs and implications could be so much greater down the road. So I feel like this is an appropriate and necessary step, and I plan on voting yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carlson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The unfortunately, we put bill numbers on all of these, but it's more than bill numbers. This is about the branch of government where if we believe it's okay for the governor to selectively delete words and change intent of language, that's a precedent for the future. Or if you can delete a line and leave the money with no designation where the money goes, then we're derelict in our duties. This is not, we can put a bill number on all these, and Senator Wardner, I agree with you on most of these. But when we came in here to begin with to talk about pursuing litigation, we said we had four things we could do. We could accept what he did and just move on. Just say, all right, we'll just accept it. We could have a veto override session and address every one of the bills. Now, we would disagree on two of the bigger ones, and I'm not sure if we'd pass some of the other ones. And we kind of said, well, we're not going to do a veto override session because we need our extra days. If this crazy health care thing in D.C. takes place, we will need to react. Or we could ask the AG for more clarification. We kind of found out that most people said, well, he gave us his opinion, there'll be no more clarification. Or we could look at litigation. Now, nobody thinks going to court and litigating is the first choice for anybody. But this is about the people we represent. I agree with you there. This is about the people we represent, and knowing that when we listen to them and we pass a bill, that someone can't take and change a shall to a shall not. We can't allow that to happen because that's our job. And we have, and you've heard Mr. Smith say that we have the revenue necessary to fund this. And I agree with Senator Sorvog that we should come back. There's no reason why we should chase our tail on a few of these. But we do need to address the key issues of selectively deleting words, of leaving money, of taking lines out and leaving money back. That cannot happen if we are going to effectively legislate, or telling us that we can't ask someone to give us a line item budget. We cannot, as a legislature, function without those things. So I hope that we pass this, that we come back again and look at, in our with our attorney's consultation and with our staff's consultation, decide which would be the areas to go to and accomplish what's good for our branch of government and for the people of the state.
Yes, Representative LaFleur.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been listening to all the comments around the room, and I think we'd be doing a disservice to the people of North Dakota if we leave things unclear, if we leave things unsettled. One only needs to look at, to the federal government, who the established lines are no longer there. Presidents have gone beyond what I think our founding fathers wanted in terms of executive authority. And so it's our job to represent the citizens of this state, and the proper way, I believe, to do that is to begin this litigation process, and this is a process. We will be listening to our attorneys in the future. They'll be giving us guidance, and we'll make additional decisions in the future. But my concern is that if we don't do this, we're harming the legislative process down the road, and we're adversely affecting future legislatures in the fact that will the executive branch try to usurp our intent. So I feel that we have no recourse here but to start the litigation process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Representative Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, too, listening to the discussion, I feel it's imperative that we further define or clarify the separation of powers, because right now I believe it's blurred. It's unsettled. We have questions. And I think we need a decision that has longevity to it. It's got finality to it. I don't believe that overriding a veto has longevity beyond that, that biennium. I don't believe that the AG's opinion has any longevity, because the next AG that comes in can change that. And so we just, as the old proverbial statement goes, we kick the can down the road. And so be it whether we get what we like or we get what we don't like, we will make that decision work. And so, Mr. Chairman and colleagues, I'm going to vote for the litigation.
Senator.
Well, I just need to make some follow-up comments, because I don't disagree that the fact that, the integrity of the legislature is definitely being questioned here. If I thought we had enough ammunition here to win this, I think we're really on thin ice whether we're going to win this. And if we don't, or even if it's just thrown out, where are we at then? And so that's my concern. I'm not worried about the future of some of these issues. Some of them weren't very significant, and I think they were petty vetoes, and I don't think that anybody would do it again. But that's a matter of opinion. So my feeling is I'm going to vote against it, but because I do not think we have the power to win this thing.
No, we'll just do it the way we always do.
Okay. We have a motion. We have a second.
And we have a roll call.
And we'll just do the roll call the way we always do. We're not going to pick and choose and put Oban first. Or even more important, Holmberg last.
Mr. Chairman, would you repeat the motion?
Okay, the motion is that we proceed with the litigation.
We proceed with the litigation.
Okay, would you call the roll?
Senators Holmberg.
No.
Heckman.
Yes.
Klein.
No.
Oban.
No.
Shibley.
Yes.
Sorvag.
Yes.
Wardner.
No.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Ballou.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Hogan.
Yes.
LaFleur.
Yes.
Lauzer.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Schmidt.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Chairman, the motion carries.
Okay, the motion carried, and we will proceed as a unified team now on the issue of litigation. Hopefully, we'll all be supportive. And we will, once, we don't have an idea yet for time, but yes, there would be another meeting where finality would be given to our strategies, et cetera. A number of us are involved in another committee that's meeting starting 25 minutes ago, but that's fine. Representative Carlson will go real fast. We're in the harvest room now. For those who are on the legislative...
Mr. Chairman, I think there's a couple of things we need to do. One of them would be to authorize the payment of... There was a small fee that the attorneys had for putting together this presentation. And the second one would be to authorize our staff to work with those people now that we've said pass. Because remember, a key part of that was he said that our bill could be limited by the involvement of our staff in these issues. So I think those two things need to be done, and I would make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion carried. Passed. Would you call the roll? Because this is expending money.
Senators Holmberg.
Aye.
Heckman.
Yes.
Klein.
Aye.
Oban.
Yes.
Shively.
Yes.
Sorbach.
Aye.
Wardner.
Aye.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Ballou.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Hogan. LaFleur.
Yes.
Lauzer.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Schmidt.
Yes.
Seibel.
Yes.
Chairman, the motion carries.
Okay, now could we have a motion to adjourn subject to call of the chair? We have a motion by Mock, seconded.
That's all I had heard for a minute there.
Okay, seconded by Seibel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Now I got two messages.
10 minutes or so.
Harvest from Epcot.
Yeah, we want to get that done.
Yeah, you wanted that.
Oh, no, yeah, oh, that's right, yeah.